Hello and welcome to the Walk Home Podcast. I'm so excited to have repeat offender here, Miss Katie Yurko. Welcome to the show. Soon to be Mrs. and maybe soon to be new last name. I don't know. Welcome to the show.
I was almost crying the other night because I was like realizing this is my last few days as Yurko. And I love my last name. And I'm like, oh, it's starting to feel so real now. I'm going to have a new last name. Honestly, I think I'm going to like drag my feet for a few years before I change my last name.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't have to change it. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't want to step on any toes, but.
I know. Yeah, I might not. I'm still deciding on that.
Well, and I think too, a lot of people that, you know, you have a blog and you have, it's part of your brand too. So a lot of people keep their name for kind of brand purposes, even if it's maybe changed legally or something, but so people still recognize you as your original name.
Yeah, totally. For sure. I think for brand purposes, like online, I'll always present as Katie Yurko.
Yeah. Makes sense. So for anyone that is new here, if you haven't listened to my first episode with Katie, I did an interview. It's been almost exactly a year.
I mean,
we should actually look because it could be even to the day. It's almost exactly a year ago.
That would be wild if it was to the day.
That would be crazy, but I wouldn't put it past the universe and everything that's going on. So we did have a really awesome conversation a year ago, and we talked a lot about hormonal health. And at that time, you had recently been diagnosed with your brain tumor. And so since then, you've been, of course, going through this whole healing journey. And I would love to just kind of catch up. I mean, I told you this before, I don't have a super clear direction for this conversation. I just want to catch up and see what's been going on with you. And in that span of a year, not only have you been working on your healing, but you've started your own podcast and you have started your own product line. And I know that all of this has kind of stemmed out of your healing process. So I'd love if you could share more on that.
Definitely. I feel like, and it's so funny because I remember when we met last time, we were both like in messy buns, no makeup, sweatpants, and all that. It was so much fun, just organic conversation. But yeah, so since then, I mean, so much has changed in a year. I feel like it put such a fire under my ass to do a little bit more with my life, like getting that tumor diagnosis, because that's the biggest diagnosis I've ever had in my entire life. And I was just like, thankfully it's not cancerous, but there's so much that can go wrong with a pituitary tumor. If it gets too big, you can go blind. It can make you infertile. I mean, there's so much stuff. My body for the longest time thought that it was pregnant, but I didn't have a baby. You know, it's just been pretty wild. Your hormones are all over the place. It can impact your thyroid. I mean, so much stuff can follow suit from a pituitary tumor. And so I was just like, life is so you just never know like what's going to happen. You only have today. So I had always dreamt of starting a product. You know, I never really dreamt of starting a podcast, but last year my site got hijacked. My blog got hijacked and it was the most devastating thing to ever happen. And I like, it's just such a long story, but I mean, I was getting close to 1 million views a year, it was just my baby. Like all of my works of art, all my research papers were on it. I was just so proud of that and like nurtured it every single day. And there's just something about it being taken away. And yes, I've like restarted it again. I've saved some articles, but it's just, if I'm being honest, it's just not the same. Like it's just like, it was just such a like violating experience. And so many years of work that was built up behind that site. I mean, like my SEO was so strong, the back end stuff that I had put into it, everything. And to be able to like rebuild it to that degree again would just take so long. And I just was like, you know, maybe this is time for me to try something new. So I am trying my hand at podcasting, which is fun. I'm having fun with it right now. I'm still testing the waters and I'm not like fully committing. I've been, you know, doing an episode every single week and so far so good. It's been fun. I'm doing just solo episodes that are like 20 minutes and it's been a blast. Like it's just girl talk, talking about health and wellness stuff. But it's been a fun direction going from like the blog to the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's trying something new, and it's something that I'm really excited about. Whereas the blog, I'm just not as excited about anymore, but who knows? I might start writing in a whole different way, and maybe like that excites up again. But yeah, it's weird. I never thought like I'd ever say that I feel like I kind of want to not close the chapter completely on the blog, but transition.
Do you have a lot of overlapping requests for content coming in for the podcast as you did for the blog?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure. I do. And I still do get a lot of requests for blog stuff too, because I think like everyone just prefers a different medium of learning and interacting with people, whether it's some people are just strictly social media and some people love a podcast and some people really do still love to read. Like I am one of those people that I do actually still really, really love to read and I will always be a writer. I still love to write. I write all the time just on my own. But I do get, it's just a whole different medium.
Yeah. Podcasting. Yeah. A different way of presenting and everything too.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love if you could share some of the topics that you have covered in your podcast so far. So people can, if they don't already know who you are, they can kind of get an idea of the stuff that you do like to talk about. And also I would love to know what brought you to those topics, because I know a lot of them kind of came from your personal life or your personal experience that in the health and wellness space, you sort of realize like, oh, this is actually important and I need to look at this, and then started sharing about it.
For sure. I like to talk about sciencey stuff, but broken down in girl talk. Like I have my head in like PubMed almost every day, just finding, I just find it so interesting. I'm like, what do they find here? And then, you know, the more you learn about it, the more you're like, there's so much stuff you want to check for. What were the control groups like? Who funded it? And I just think like that whole world of science is so cool, but it's really rare that you see a lot of that stuff broken down into really easy speak. Cause I think most people would look at a study and be like, I have no idea what to do with this, what this really means. And not even that I'm an expert, but I'm just a weirdo that like likes to take the time to like figure out what that study means. And then I just boil it down into girl talk and like, you know, I cuss, I say like, I sound like a valley girl, but you know, like it's just fun conversation around sciencey things with wellness. So, and I like to talk about theories that I have. Like I just did an episode where I just did like popcorn style on different notes I had in my phone of studies that I'd gone over. Like I did like a theory that I have on foam rolling. Mm-hmm. And I did, I've like done things on non-negotiables for grocery shopping. I talk like personal stories too. Like I talked about my whole tumor story, and I think that's like the actual number one listen one since. I've even had Dan on, my fiance, and we talked about jealousy and fighting. I was so damn nervous that entire time. I was like, is this smart? I don't even know. What is he going to say?
Are we going to get in a fight over this podcast right now?
Real. And we were in such a big fight right before too, because like I lost track of time. We left too late. I like took the wrong directions to get there. And it was like Frazzle City right before, but I was like, well, this is as real as it gets when it comes to fighting. So, but it's fun. I feel like it's really personal. And just like you, I feel like you're someone that all of your content you hold really close to your chest too. Mm-hmm. Like it's like almost like diary style. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're both similar in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you said that the tumor one is the most listened to. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I love encouraging people to just not give up on their healing journeys. I think right now in this day and age, people are really starting to wake up to their bodies and being like, all right, whatever I've been doing now, the status quo is not working. I mean, we have an epidemic of stressed out people with major gut issues, inflammation issues. I mean, it is just wild. And you just have to, at that point, I really think you need to start challenging the status quo. And I do think majority of people still are not challenging the status quo, because we bow down to these white coats, these doctors. We think that the government and big pharma and all that are really like looking out for us, but they are not. And I think it's one of those things that like, once you start really digging and engaging your intuition and start asking more questions, you kind of start to like see this light, and then you cannot turn back. And once you see the light, you start to want to, you know, heal in different ways that you hadn't really tried before. And so I think where my content speaks to people is like, you know, maybe they're like just stepping into that light, and I like to encourage them to keep going, because healing journeys are no joke. Mm-hmm. It's so emotional. I mean, you know, it's like up and down and up and down, and you can be seen as like someone who you do so much of this stuff right, but like life is still life and shit is still going to happen. It's just not giving up. Mm-hmm. And so I think because in that story, I really like went into that podcast. I really went into the emotional complexities of getting a severe diagnosis and just not giving up. Cause I will not, like, I, there are times when like my lab work will come back great, and then a few months later it will like not be great. Mm-hmm. But regardless of the situation, I just, you know, I tell myself I got to stay so positive and, you know, keep rocking it, keep finding things out, testing new things, keep praying, all the things. And I just keep, and as a result of that, I feel like life does continuously get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I can definitely relate to that. I've never had anything as serious as a brain tumor diagnosis, but just
serious things though. Like you've had like things that linger too for a really long time.
It's the lingering stuff that is the worst, because it's a similar
physical in your life. Like that's one big difference that you and I have. You know, I can like sit on my couch and get work done, you know, and like I still have to be working, but like you have to be balancing on your head and shit, you know.
Yeah, it adds another layer of stress when you use your body as a source of income. It does, definitely.
I can't even imagine.
And for me, I mean, when I have something similar to where, whether it is lab work coming back or just a feeling where I could feel a flare up is coming, and if I feel like I've done everything right, I get so frustrated. Like, and then I also kind of fall into this pity party of like, it's just not fair. I'm doing everything right. This just isn't fair. And when I'm in that state, I'll be like, okay, I will give myself this pity party for 15 minutes. And I'm just going to sit here and be in it fully. And then after the 15 minutes, I'm done. I'm done with the pity party. But like letting myself also feel that has been important for me, instead of shoving it down, because some of that shoving down ends up manifesting in more physical discomfort.
Can I ask you, like, this last year, what have been your big health obstacles? I know like we talk in DMs and stuff, but like what's been like your biggest things that you've tried to overcome last year?
Oh man. So, well, I mean, okay. In the last year, definitely a lot. So for instance, my right hand just essentially stopped working one day. It just was in so much pain. Could barely move it at all. Definitely couldn't do a handstand on it. Couldn't do a plank. Couldn't do most yoga. For 3 months, it was in so much pain. I couldn't put any pressure on it. Didn't have anything come back as to any reason why. And I pretty much got to the point that just accepted like, okay, you know, my yoga practice is drastically going to change. And that's just something that I'm going to have to work with and shift as a teacher. Oh, and then and then it just started working again.
Wow.
So that was one thing that was pretty major. And then
you just like repurpose old content during then?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. For content purposes, it was a lot of that. And then just kind of just doing less. I think that's also happened in general with social media. It used to be like post every day at the same time every day. And now it's like post whenever you want. 3 times a week is more than enough, I would say, for most people. So that was helpful. And then, yeah, mental health stuff for sure, which was actually linked to, as you know, to high histamine levels. And to, I think we were talking about that before when I was having that mast cell reaction.
Yes.
And so from that, my anxiety was through the roof, having crazy panic attacks. I would eat something and my lips would blow up like 5 times the size. I would have hives all the time and I didn't know what was triggering it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are there specific foods now that you're like, absolutely not, I just like can't ever do again? Or I like, right now I can't do, like what?
So I also, I mean, I haven't had gluten in a long time, but then I realized even more so beyond the gluten, it was the yeast. Yeast is really, it is a bad trigger for me. And I didn't know that for a long time. So even having things like kombucha or nutritional yeast or things that are quote unquote healthy,
I know.
I didn't know. And it was just like, I would get these hot, horrible hives. So that's a big one I don't see ever really incorporating again.
Yeah. But we can't make blanket statements like eat fermented foods. I think the only mm-hmm. blanket statement you can say is like, you know, make sure you get diversity of plants.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, and I used to really be on that train too, of like, I need to be eating all the fermented sauerkraut and all of that. And it definitely triggers histamine stuff for me too. Wine, like no way.
Oh, hell no. I mean, I haven't had alcohol in a couple of years, but even before I stopped drinking altogether, wine was like, I love it. It's so good. But if I have more than one glass, it would be just like the worst for me is more gut stuff with wine. Like, yeah. Oh, the worst.
Well, drinking in general, like I love that you don't drink. I'll drink here and there, but very, very rarely. But it's that I would way more prefer cannabis over drinking.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I like the taste of most alcohols. So beer is another big one with yeast. I wasn't having gluten that whole time, but I would still drink beer from time to time.
Yeah.
Had no idea that that was causing all of these reactions. So also I think I took a food sensitivity test this year and that helped a lot because there were also foods that are, again, healthy. They're good foods. I'm putting that in quotes because, you know, people are listening to this. They can't see. Yeah. And for me, for instance, celery. I did freaking celery juice in the morning just because I was like, whatever, it's just celery juice and I might as well, right. Even if it's a hoax, I might as well just try it. No, yeah. That ruined me. And I kept reading like, oh no, it's a good thing. You're going to detox before you start feeling better. Celery is like one of my highest inflammatory foods for my body.
That's so interesting. I remember reading a thing from Dr. Stephen Gundry. He did the plant paradox. Like his whole theory is lower your lectin. Like I don't agree with everything he says, but he talks about celery and he's like, there are some people that like have the worst inflammation reaction to celery.
Oh my God, my skin, it was painful. Just like the stuff that was coming out of me, it was painful. Because that has happened to me before with certain, especially if it's liver related things, if I go too hard on the liver and any sort of detox or even glutathione, I know you rave about, mm-hmm. I had an injection of it once, same thing, like my skin exploded because it was just like my liver was, it wasn't ready for that. I mean, I work with especially my acupuncturist, we're really working on building my blood.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. That's wild.
Yeah.
So you went through all that at this point here.
Yeah. So I
just can't believe that about the hand.
Oh my God. That still is a mystery. I mean, I think we found out that we had extreme mold in one of our houses. So that was definitely part of it. It was just the inflammation. But yeah, it's for me, it's always this, it's very cyclical with mental health too. If I'm having something happening physically, then it also usually manifests through depression or anxiety. And some of that is linked to, yeah, stress of not working or concern about, oh, I need my body for this income. There's part of that is there. And, you know, the actual effects that it has on the brain, as one of my doctors was telling me, like, it makes sense that you have panic attacks when your histamine is so high because your brain is inflamed right now. So
tied together. There's just, make no mistake about it. Like, people need to know. If you are stressed, anxious, in fight or flight, it will result in something physical.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yeah. And I know that this was kind of something that we were just starting to talk about last year when you were saying at the time, you're like, so, you know, I've been doing everything right. I feel like I know so much, but now I'm really starting to explore that mind-body connection. And that was exactly a year ago. So I would love to know what you have found around that in this last year.
Taking a quick pause in today's conversation to talk about today's sponsor, Beekeepers Naturals. I am obsessed with this brand. I'm obsessed with their mission and of course with their products. And I'm sure that if you follow other health and wellness influencers or other health and wellness podcasts, you've probably already heard of this brand before. And let me tell you, there is a reason why it is so popular. is popular because the products are incredible. And like I said, the mission and the ethics behind the company, I think, really speak to that more heart-centered kind of work that's going on in the community that we are all a part of. Okay, so the product that I love the most from Beekeepers Naturals is the Throat Propolis Spray. I love it, especially when I'm traveling. It gives me this immediate feeling of support if I'm feeling slightly run down, or especially if I just get off of a flight, and I'm running around quite a bit right now getting everything ready in Nicaragua, so we're flying back and forth a lot. And when you're flying a lot, you know, it creates an environment where you are more likely to get sick because you're sharing air on this metal tube with all these people, and you're literally uprooting yourself and then replanting somewhere else, and time differences, you know, so there's a lot that can go on that can kind of throw your body out of whack. So first and foremost, I mean, I always prioritize getting plenty of sleep during that time. But if I am looking for products to continually support keeping my immune system strong and healthy rather than getting run down, their Propolis Throat Spray is one of my go-tos. I cannot recommend it enough. If you would like to try the Throat Spray or anything else, they have quite a few wonderful products on there. You can use my code Kayla, that's K-A-Y-L-A, to get 25% off your entire order. That's a good freaking deal. That's Kayla, K-A-Y-L-A, 25% off anything from Beekeepers Naturals. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah. So the mind-body connection, I always say it's a blessing and a curse. It's a curse because, like, I'm just like, can I be stressed and not lose hair? Can't I be stressed and not get bloated? Can't I be stressed and not experience excess inflammation? Like, let me just feel this thing and let it not be connected to everything else. But it's also a blessing because it makes me feel like I'm in so much power, knowing that if I just get a hold of my stress, get a hold of my anxiety, and I start to lower it and I really put in the mental work, my body follows suit. And I just find I don't really make leaps and bounds in my healing unless I am doing the mental work and working on my stress and anxiety. And it's like, to me, that just, it's so profound, it can't be ignored. I'm blown away by how much better I do when I am actively working on my stress. And I really have never, you know, I've never given much power to, I've never just thought stress has that much power over your body until I got that tumor diagnosis. And so much of it is tied to stress. And I'm like, you know, there really is something to this. For the first time in my life, I need to get coping mechanisms. I really, really, really need to do something here because my health is suffering because of my stress levels. And it's just so funny because Western medicine, they'll be like, there's no connection, or like, they'll be like, have a glass of wine and go home and relax. Like, really? And, you know, Eastern medicine, root cause medicine, holistic medicine says one of the number one things that you have to address is stress mm-hmm. and sleep. It's the two biggies. It's like, you want to move the biggest boulders, it's those two things. And so it's just, I can even pinpoint, I'm dead serious. I can pinpoint my blood work when it's really good. Is the last like 3 months I have been doing really well on keeping my stress levels low. And when I'm not doing good is when I'm just, you know, when it's hard. Mm-hmm. And it really is so hard to work on your stress all the time. It's easier said than done. Oh, yeah. And it's like, you have to just make this conscious decision every single day. Like, okay. Like my first thing that I did, I was like, I noticed there were certain scenarios that would make me emotionally spike, and it was every day, and it would manifest in me like tensing up. I would just, I would have kind of intense reactions. I'm a little bit of a hothead, and I was just like, this is spiking my cortisol so much throughout the day that it's going to be like, there's no way I'm staying in parasympathetic and AKA. So that means like, there's no way my body's going to do much healing because it thinks it's running from a tiger right now. And so I was like, all right, whenever this scenario comes up, instead of just like not thinking about it, I'm first going to start slowing down my thinking. That's the number one thing that I do, is I just start slowing down my thinking. I even start slowing down like the rate at which I talk, because I'm kind of a fast talker. I'll start talking slower. I'll take a few deep breaths, and then I react to the situation so much differently. And then
And then I'm like able to stay in parasympathetic and rest and digest, or I'm able to get back into it so much quicker. And I'm so proud of myself on days when I really do try to activate that parasympathetic mode more often, because I just know that it's caring for my body and I love my body so much. So why wouldn't I do that? But your nervous system, I mean, it communicates so much to your body. It communicates to make hormones. I mean, you just cannot ignore the central nervous system. And whenever I think of mind-body connection, I think of the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that stress for me is definitely my biggest trigger for any sort of flare up or anything going on. And it is something, like you said, it's a daily practice. And even just using that example of being a hothead, I am the same way I feel it in my body. My body temperature raises when I'm extremely angry. You know, it's like you actually get hot. Your body has a physical response the anger. And that is a sign, like, it is also happening on a physical level. There is something physical happening here.
Oh, I know. Definitely. It's like, if there was steam that could come out of my ears, it would be there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I love what you said about just trying to slow down your thoughts, trying to slow down even the way that you're speaking, because first of all, these are very practical tips that people can implement and anyone can implement that. That's something that is, you know, it can be a constant practice. And it just is that idea of, you know, maybe your reaction won't ever be, the anger is no longer present, but you're just elongating that space between what happened and your response to it, and responding rather than reacting. Like, that's really the goal that we're all working on.
For sure. It's so important. And whatever, like, someone can do to, like, even give themselves signals of, all right, it's time to slow down for a second. I think, like, that is a big reason why we launched our potion company and did the stress blend first, mm-hmm. is because I really, like, don't want to just sell a product just to sell a product. I want it to mean something. And so we're, like, very big on the idea of, like, when you drink your potion, which is amazing for the adrenals, by the way, it's like one of the best things that you can take for your adrenals. When you do it, slow down. Like, don't be drinking your potion while scrolling, mm-hmm. you know, don't be doing it while, like, multitasking. Just sit and do a full body scan. Tell yourself some things like, body, you got this. I love you so much. You deserve this for your adrenals. We're going to enjoy this drink, mm-hmm. and then get back to it. But just that, because I really believe everyone has 5 minutes, because everyone's like, I'm so busy. I'm too busy to work on stress. It's like, you're the first one that needs to work on stress. And I think everyone has 5 minutes, mm-hmm. you know? And so for me though, like, I'm so ADD and scatterbrained that I do really need signals to slow down and get into my parasympathetic. So for me, drinking a potion is one. Whenever I, like, see my potion bag and I know it's potion time, I'm like, have I slowed down yet today? Have, like, I even taken some deep breaths, because we're such shallow breathers too, as a nation. And that's so bad for the body, because oxygen is so healing. And so I'll do things like that. Like, a potion is a signal for me. If I, like, I have such weird things. If I feel a random pain, like, you know how you just feel like a tweak or something in your body, that's always a signal for me to just, like, get on the ground, stretch for a few minutes and do some deep breaths before it manifests into something bigger. Mm-hmm. So just find those signals and do it. It's so important
for anyone. Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's that element of ritual. So mm-hmm. it's like you said, you see the bag and that reminds you it's beyond just drinking it, but you have this whole ritual around it, and ritual is very grounding. And if you are someone that is more airy and, like you said, kind of scatterbrained and here and there and everywhere, you need that opposite force, which is earth, grounding, ritual, structure that can kind of even you out a little bit.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Definitely. I love that. I love that description of it.
Yeah. I would love to know, you mentioned before that you, about some coping mechanisms, mm-hmm. As far as stress goes. So I know, you know, you gave that example of having your potion and having more time between your thoughts and everything. Are there any other practices that you implement, whether it's physical, whether it is very scientific based, this is how you can immediately drop into the parasympathetic? I would love to hear some tips there, because, like you said, this is something that everyone can benefit from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So other coping mechanisms that I have, this one sounds so simple and weird, but stretching really does something for me. I mean, you do yoga, so you definitely can attest to that, but stretching helps me so much. I've like fallen in love with it more than I ever have in the last year. And it's not even tied to a goal of getting more flexible or anything like that. It's just the simple act of stretching to me. Like, it immediately just calms me down. And at the same time makes me feel like more graceful and powerful. And also like doing like balancing moves, which, you know, like, again, I'm sure like you're like, yes, for sure. Yoga. Hello. But, it's just so weird. I'll be like stressed, or I'll just be feeling like down, and I'll do something weird. Like, I'll go balance on my toes for like 60 seconds, you know, and just like, and just the act of that makes me feel really strong and calm. And then I feel better after. It's such a random coping mechanism, but like, that really is one of them. You know, consistent prayer for me is huge. Going for walks, it like a walk cures so much, especially because, like, you know, Dan and I, like, we are such, like, we're both very, very intense. And so there are times like when we'll have a fight, and like the only way I'm going to come back down to a calm level is if I go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like before I would kind of stay in the fight, you know, and like now it's more like, all right, I'm going to take a break and I'm going to go for a walk, and then we'll resume it. And it's so much better that way. Mm-hmm. So going for walks for sure. More sleep than I'm used to. Like, I really do try and sleep 8 to 9 hours a week, or 8 to 9 hours a day. Not a week. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I'd not be healing at all at night. And like, I increased my sleep a little bit, even just increasing it by half an hour at first really helped a lot. Or if I couldn't do that, then taking a little nap in the day, because I think a really stressed out body, you just need more rest than you think. Mm-hmm. I really think people need more rest than they're getting. And so many people are go, 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 go. And like, while I understand having to get shit done and like getting ahead in life, I'm just a firm believer that you'll get way more ahead in life if you actually slow down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so just loving the idea of rest and flipping the perspective that you have on it, instead of like feeling guilty for resting, like being like, this is the most productive thing that I could possibly do. No guilt whatsoever resting. I do not care if I take a nap in the day for even like an hour, like whatever. It's, you know, my body needed it. I listened to the call. Mm-hmm. And because before, if I took a nap in the middle of the day, I'd feel really guilty about it. And like, then that did not help my stress at all. But now I'm just like answering the call of rest and like being joyful about it.
Yeah.
Great coping mechanism.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when I start getting in a more anxious state, then it's also, I usually sleep less because my mind is racing. I'm very wired. Yeah. So, and then it kind of like goes hand in hand, because then I'm getting less sleep, less quality sleep, and which is then probably making me more anxious. And then it gets in this really kind of vicious loop. So if I notice that that is starting to happen, even just something simple, like taking a salt bath of some sort, I mean, some sort of magnesium, or, you know, whatever salts you like, sometimes they use CBD salts, just to actually calm down my body so CBD that I can wonderful. Rest.
Yeah, CBD. Oh my gosh. The literature is so strong on it for inflammation and for stress. I think that it is so wonderful. I know you've been a believer for a long time.
Yeah. Oh my, I don't even remember the first time I used it. It was years ago now, but it had just started to become kind of more mainstream, or I don't know the right word for it. But one of my friends, we had really bad cramps, and she's like, here, use this CBD rub. It always helps. I was like, seriously, like, that's not going to help my cramps. You don't understand what's happening. And she's like, just try. And it complete, I don't want to say they went away, but it helps so much to where I, and that still is what I use if I am having any sort of kind of period pain or anything like that, or even just a little bit of bloating. It's a miracle. It feels like a miracle every time I use it.
I think CBD cream works so well. Mm-hmm. So I know like some people are like, I don't feel anything when I do it orally. I think you just have to get the right dosage and the right kind, but topically, if someone has not tried that for any like soreness,
it works so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And same with, I mean, my mom, who sometimes will feel arthritis, especially being in Tahoe, which is high elevation, thin air, can be really cold. And she had kind of a similar thing of like, how real, like, is this really useful? How good is this stuff? And I've heard a lot of my other friends' parents too, that have even more severe arthritis or just like real severe joint pain, and CBD has been their go-to once they did finally give it a try.
Definitely. My dad loves CBD cream on his hands too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's such a, like, people should be gifting the seniors in their life CBD cream for Christmas.
Yeah. I love that tip. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also just on the walking note, I have to add this in because I'm also a huge fan of walking, have been forever. It just helps me. I come up with so many ideas. It's like energy is just moving through me and I'm outside. I'm feeling the fresh air. I'm feeling the sun. You know, everything is just good that way. And also with Alex and I, if we get in a fight, or even if it's not a fight, it's just like something really big is happening and we have to make a big decision, I'll always be like, we need to go for a walk. Sometimes we walk for like 7 miles. She's like, can we just make a decision already? I'm like, as soon as we make a decision, this walk will end. But this is not ending until we make a decision.
Yeah. Walks are powerful.
Yeah.
For sure. I love you guys will go walking for 7 miles. I wish you could do that with me. I always want to walk for longer. And he just...
Yeah, no, she doesn't do it willingly, but she just knows like, okay, I'll just make a decision then for the sake of this walk being over. But yeah, it's been really helpful just to, again, for me, it's like sometimes when I feel things physically, it feels like stuff is stuck. So any kind of movement just gets energy flowing a little bit more, a little bit less stuck. Sure. And then I'm able to just get more clear about the stuff that feels impenetrable or like, I just have no idea. I'm so confused. And once stuff is moving, it's like, oh, okay. There's options. I can see through this in some way.
Completely agree. Yeah, walking is such a powerful tool.
Yeah. So, and you also touched on the potions. So I would love to talk about those as well. Yeah. I ordered mine and I essentially had to give it to my mom because she took it every day. So
that's amazing.
It's hers now. But yeah, it is so delicious. And I would just love if you could share a little bit about kind of the whole evolution. How did they come about and what some of the ingredients are, how they work in the body, all of that.
For sure. So right now we have one blend. We want to be like very slow with the rollout of new blends. Because one thing I notice is a lot of the blends on the market, they're just like left and right coming out with new blends. And I just think it takes a lot more time and effort to come out with the right dosages. I think that there should be an emphasis always placed on dosages. And one reason why, like, I love making blends and potions, and I would do this for years. I would always share my recipes on Violet Fog. And I like kind of always had a dream of doing a blend. And because I was like, most of the blends on the market use such small amounts of their active ingredient that it really, like, if you look at the data, there's never been like proof that like XYZ can happen with that small amount, you know, like using like 1/8 of a teaspoon of maca is just like not going to do it. You know, like you need more than that. And so our whole thing is we don't use creamer. We don't use sugar. Nothing is added. It's just superfoods, adaptogens, only five or less. In like a really substantial amount. Like our dosages are no joke. It's really supposed to work. And so, and like, cause it's a full, you know, it's a full tablespoon with five ingredients. Like most of the blends that like we're seeing, it's like 10 ingredients in a teaspoon. Mm-hmm. And so that really is like our whole thing. We just want a product that we're so proud of that we just feel like the chances of it working for someone is high. And like, it's so interesting too, having that only five ingredients at that dosage. It's like, it's so cool because I think that we really are able to see like what it's doing for people and how they react differently. And bioindividuality always comes into play. Like our stress and stamina blend, like people who are super sensitive to caffeine and just to a lot of different things, like they are like, wow, this is giving me so much stamina, so much energy. And just like, I'm able to just like blaze through my day.
people who are maybe like not as sensitive to it or maybe not feeling that, but they're like, you know what? Like I'm able to access my parasympathetic a little bit more often, or I find that my emotional spikes are starting to soften. And then there are people who are telling us that they're experiencing a whole lot less brain fog. Like we got this one email just the other day. It was so cool from this woman who's like, I've had the worst, she had got COVID and she's like, I've had the worst brain fog for like 6 months now since getting COVID. Nothing's helped, but this has really helped me. Like she just was getting so much goodness from taking her blend every day. And so it's interesting to see everyone reacts differently, but I just feel like we've made it powerful enough that you can always get something out of it. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. And it tastes so good. Even like, and we're not anti-coffee. We're a coffee alternative brand, but like, we like to think of it as more of like coffee's best friend. Cause I still love coffee. I drink a cup of coffee every day, but now I don't have a second cup of coffee. I have a potion instead, or I'll put my potion, I'll put the blend into coffee because the flavor together is so good. But you know, our whole thing is just reminding people to care for your adrenals, that like thinking about your adrenals is a really cool thing to do. You know, we love to talk liver and gut, but like adrenals never get any love and they're responsible for so much. It's not even just like, we think that adrenals are only tied to fatigue or energy or lack thereof, but it is tied to your metabolism. It's tied to hair. It's tied to your central nervous system. It's tied to immune system. It's tied to so many things. It's a hormone factory. And they're like, you know, there are these little organs, they're the size of acorns that just sit on top of your kidneys. But they do so much. And I just really believe that caring for your adrenals and, you know, one way, there's so many ways to do it. The main way that you really are going to care for your adrenals is going to be mentally doing the work. But there are like some like little biohacks here and there that can also really help. And I consider our potion stress and stamina blend to be one of those. And no matter what blend we come out with, it will always have an emphasis on nourishing the adrenals and also nourishing blood. Because I do think a reason why a lot of people are also fatigued is not just adrenal issue, but a blood issue. If their blood is just always stagnant, like I just think of vibrancy as blood that's just like pumping through you, mm-hmm. rushing, it's vibrant. And so it's really important to get in blood nourishing ingredients and blood boosters. So
like I said, that was a huge one for me, is the quality of my blood to where it's just, and I did get one treatment this year. It's called EVO2 dialysis. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but they take the blood out from one side of your arm and then they put it through a dialysis machine, so it's filtering it, and then inject it with ozone, treat it with blue light and red light, and then put it back into you. So when they're pulling the blood out of the first arm, you can see even just the color of it. And there's sometimes like little chunks of fat in it. And it's like, I have a very clean diet and everything, but like you can actually see the difference versus when they put it back into you after it's been cleaned and all of that stuff, it's bright red, vibrant blood. It's
wild. How'd you feel after it?
So the first time that I got it, I felt like a crackhead after. I had so much energy. I was like, oh my God, is this what it means to be alive? Like I felt like I wasn't gonna sleep for 3 days. The second time I got it, because they recommend doing 3 at a time relatively close to each other, I think like within every 2 weeks or something like that. Mm-hmm. The second time I got it, it put me out. Like I felt really horrible after, it felt even more fatigued, really bad brain fog, just completely depleted after. And then the third time I got it, it was kind of a mix of both. I felt that depletion and then I felt that sort of high again. And mm-hmm. since then, that has actually been what has completely turned a lot of my health around physically. And then I was going through mental, spiritual, all of that stuff too. But that was a really, really big turnaround for me, was that treatment.
Oh, that's so incredible. Yeah, doing things for your blood. That's another thing. Like, I feel like that's the next cool thing. Adrenals and then blood. Mm-hmm. I was telling Dan when we were formulating it, I was like, I really want to put Hushuwoo in it because it's so good for your blood. And he was like, that's such a obscure ingredient. No one is going to know what the fuck that is. They're going to be like, you know, turned off because, you know, Peruvian maca, ashwagandha, cacao, reishi. I feel like there's a lot of people who don't even know, but Hushuwoo was always the one. Like we do farmers markets here in Austin. And that's always when people are like, what is that? But I was like, no, we have to, because it really is just so good for the blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. Cause like I said, it with any sort of, even though my liver was suffering when I was trying to work with any sort of detoxes that might be somewhat aggressive, if my blood was so weak that it couldn't actually carry out everything from the liver, then my skin would take the brunt of it. Everything would just explode out my skin and I would feel horrible. So building my blood is still an ongoing process kind of before I can even get to the liver.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man.
I would love to know. So what made you decide to focus on the adrenals? Is that from your experience, just from your reading? What kind of gave you that in there?
Okay, we are taking a brief interruption from today's conversation for me to share a crazy freaking story with you guys. So I actually shared this on my Instagram stories a while ago, but I'm resharing it again here because now I have a code with this company. And if this story is not proof that this brand is absolutely magic, then I don't know what else is. Okay, so Alex and I were in Nicaragua and we wanted to watch the sunset. So we're sitting on the rocks out in front of our property watching the sunset. In that time, because it went from light to dark, I took my sunglasses off and I must have set them on the rocks next to me. Since we left when it was dark, I didn't notice that my sunglasses were still on the ground, walked back to the room, and the next day, when I went to put my sunglasses on for the day, they were gone, and I knew immediately, shit, I must have left them on the rocks. And immediately, I mean, my first response was guilt, because I felt like I just littered. I mean, I did, basically. I knew the ocean would have come up, the tides changed, the ocean would have come up in the night, taken whatever is on the rocks, including my sunglasses, and pulled it back into the ocean. And at this point, this is a full 12 hours later, so I knew the sunglasses were long gone. I felt guilty about littering, and then of course I was bummed because I loved those sunglasses. I've been wearing them every day for a year and a half. So I reached out to the company and told them, okay, this thing happened. Please, 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 will you send me another pair? And so they did. They were so gracious, sent me another pair. Alex went back to the States. I was still in Nicaragua. This is now 1 week later. My sunglasses had arrived to our place in the States, and I was texting Alex when I was walking out of my room again to sunset to go watch on the rocks. And from the front door of the bungalow that I was staying in to the rocks is maybe no more than a 2 minute walk, maybe 90 second walk. It's really close. And I remember I was standing on my front porch, opened the door, sent Alex a text, hey, looks like my sunglasses arrived. Will you please pack them in the bag to bring to me when you come back out? And she said, yeah. By the time I get to the rocks, so maybe 90 seconds later, my earphones are in, I'm listening to music, just kind of winding down, grounding in for the day, and the water is splashing at my feet, and I feel something tapping against the top of my foot, and I'm thinking it was a rock or something. I look down, it's my freaking sunglasses. Like, what? It was my sunglasses. This is a week later. The fact that the ocean, like I said, for sure took my sunglasses probably that first night. It had been in the ocean for a week and it came back and tapped me on the foot until I noticed them. And there was a little bit of damage because they had been tumbled so much, the lenses were a little scratched and there was salt all over them, but I didn't even care. I put them on right away. I was just so stoked to have them back and also just in shock and awe. Like, how is this even possible? And I mean, I already knew I loved this company. Like I said, I've been wearing their product for a year and a half. I've shared them a little bit on my stories, but I'm sharing them again here. Rain sunglasses, that's R-A-E-N sunglasses. And of course I have a code for you. Kayla20 gets you 20% off any pair that you like. Every pair is so different, so stylish, super simple. They stay on when you're working out, when you're running around, but also have just like a stylish day sort of look instead of, you know, some sporty sunglasses are so sporty that it's like, you know, kind of only for when you're being active. But these ones, I love that they have all these different styles as well. So highly recommend them. As I said in the beginning, if this isn't proof that this brand is magic, I don't know what else is.
Looking at a lot of my health issues, adrenals are tied to just so much. Mm-hmm. I was getting, you know, UTIs all the time, like just since I was a baby. And even just looking at infection holistically and how much stress really is tied into that. Not even that that's a reason why you would get an infection, but it could be a huge reason why an infection stays for way longer. You know, the body needs energy to fight infection. If you're stressed all the time, it's going to be really, really hard to do. I also just started realizing how adrenals, and there's some people in the medicine world that do not recognize adrenal fatigue as real, mm-hmm. you know, and like, and I understand their stance. I really do, but I really do think that the adrenals work so hard and that taxing them actually is a real thing. I really believe that there's a reason why functional medicine doctors all over are talking about how they're seeing more and more adrenal insufficiency in people. And the more that I just started, it was just one of the organs that I never researched a ton. And the more that I got into it, I was like, this is unbelievable how much adrenals are tied to. And I really just think that people still think that it's just fatigue and energy. And it's, you know, it's tied to so much more. And I just think, and I'm such a champion of women, like claiming their health, getting better. And I think a big missing part that women aren't thinking, we're thinking about our hormones, we're thinking about liver, gut health, but I really think like just a missing key that we just need to focus on more is adrenals. And I just, for me, the more that I realized, just even looking at my past medical history, how much, like how better I maybe would have done if I had started working on stress and healing my adrenals earlier on. My energy is going through the roof. It's amazing. I feel I have more energy now than I did in my 20s. Like no joke. I really do. And so for sure that I think oddly enough, it's made me a better person because I've slowed down and I've become more at peace with myself just from doing the mental work that takes to, you know, work on stress and heal your adrenals. So that I also think like I never get sick. You know, so it's like, cause it is tied to your immune system. I feel like my metabolism is the best that it's ever been. I'm also seeing my thyroid improving and those two are for sure, you know, tied together. I think, I'm seeing like my prolactin for my tumor go down and that makes sense because the HPA axis, hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, you know, they're all three tied together. And so the more that I'm just focusing on my adrenals often and all the time, I just find that I just feel like my body is getting back into its rhythm of natural healing. And I'm like needing less supplements. Mm-hmm. I'm needing to do, because I love all these wellness practices a ton and I believe in them so much, but I don't think that the body is supposed to have to do all these wellness practices. I shouldn't have to be doing a coffee enema, sauna, ice bath, you know, pulse electric therapy, and chiropractic and all this stuff every single week, all the time, you know,
forever.
Forever, you know, your body really is supposed to be a well-oiled machine on its own and do healing things on its own. Of course you want to get to that homeostasis, but that's why we use wellness things to bring us back to that, you know, innate healing that we have and use wellness practices. You know, I think we'll always need wellness practices. But I just think sometimes in life you need more and sometimes you need less. And I have found that the more that I work on my adrenals, I'm needing a little bit less. I can kind of like tighten the, mm-hmm. or I can loosen the reins a little bit, which has been really nice. It's like all of my work that I've done is like starting to really finally pay off.
Yeah. And even just on that note of doing less, because even if you are consuming supplements that are all natural, that still is something that your liver is having to deal with, or if you don't really know the true origin of supplements, aren't as regulated mm-hmm. as something like pharmaceuticals, even though pharmaceuticals aren't always great either, they are more regulated in that way. Just, you know, and then when you're getting marketed all this stuff, it's like, okay, if I take this supplement, then this will get fixed. And so all of a sudden you're taking 20 supplements and you could actually be overloading your system, which I think a lot of people don't think about.
Oh my gosh, totally. Have you ever had a Herx reaction?
Mm-mm, I don't know what that is.
I had a Herx like a few weeks ago. It's like when your body's detoxing too fast, too soon. And you're just like, it's so horrible. I was taking, so I've been doing like some Candida protocol mm-hmm. stuff.
And I did have that with Candida. I didn't know that's what it was called. And that for me, it's always skin. It just like freaks out and it's so painful.
Yeah. When your body's just detoxing too much, it's like, you know, I was like, okay, I need to reel back on the supplements. Like it's clearly doing its job. Like I picked the right stuff, but it was way, way, way too. I was violently vomiting like all night.
Oh, wow. That's yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's also just something to be said about the healing power of just being a little bit more gentle. A lot of the times it's like so aggressive and like you have to, I mean, it almost kind of started with the concept of beauty is pain. That's more on a beauty side of it. But and sometimes it seems like wellness is even going down that route to like, well, it's supposed to be uncomfortable and you just have to breathe through the discomfort. And there is, you know, there's traces of that in there, which I even felt with the celery juice, for instance. Like everything I read about it was like, oh yeah, sometimes it's worse before it's better. And so it kind of makes you override intuition and override like, wait, something really doesn't feel right here. And am I supposed to feel this bad just from drinking juice? I don't think so.
Right. I completely agree. Yeah. I never really thought about that. The like beauty is pain or like you have to like go through this pain. And like, yeah, you really don't like, and if it's done right and done slowly mm-hmm. and just, yeah, of course, like you said, just listening to the intuition is so key.
It's so key. And it can be hard too when, I mean, like you said, most people are kind of trained already to sort of give power away to doctors because we trust them and because they have studied for a long time and they are in this position of power. And also, you know, we've seen that that's not always exactly the best person to get 100% of your advice from.
Right. But
I think that's also kind of been transferred even into social media or blogs, or, you know, you can see someone that is a wellness sort of figure and people just automatically trust them and go to them for all of their advice about what to do with their body. And that can be a dangerous position to be in because you're also not listening to yourself. And even if that really did work for one person, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Your intuition is like almost always right when it comes to health or when someone gives you a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. People are not God, you know, and you are your greatest healer.
Yeah. Yeah. And you did mention before that another one of your practices that has just helped a lot has been prayer, speaking of God.
Yeah.
So I would love if you could speak a little bit about your faith in relation to your healing journey.
For sure. So I always say I don't live a religious lifestyle. I don't even really subscribe to religion whatsoever, but my relationship with God is so strong. Like he is my homie, my best friend, my everything. I couldn't do life without him. I really can't. I'm so lucky like that. My partner is like not like a full believer, but he respects me mm-hmm. in like my journey, just as I respect him in his. And so like, it's really nice because I still feel like I have a lot of space to foster that relationship with God and healing. And I've just had too much in my life where like, I cannot not believe in him. Mm-hmm. And so I'll pray every day. I mean, there'll be times and like days will go by where I don't like, I'm not always reading my Bible, but my relationship is just really strong. And, you know, I just feel this like protection, this shield over me every single day. And I feel like when I'm closer to him, that shield is stronger. And when I'm not, it's just not as much there. And so working on that is like the best thing I could ever do to work on myself and for my health. And I always tell people, I'm like, it's okay if you don't believe in God. Like, it's just my story. You know, I'm just like being honest, but mm-hmm. yeah. So my faith is super, super important to me.
Yeah. And it just seems like too, that is also something that I imagine would be very calming, a feeling of being protected. It's a calming, grounding feeling. And that, again, gets you into parasympathetic. If you're in that state of stress and if you just have something or someone or some source, whatever it is you believe in, I think even if it is your highest self, you know, even if someone's like, I don't believe in God at all, but you're just talking to your highest self in some other dimension or, you know, whatever you believe in, it is comforting in that way. And I think it can be so supportive during a healing journey, which can feel very isolating sometimes too.
Oh yeah. It can feel so isolating. I am such a mess if I'm not praying and grounding myself in that way. Cause like healing can just be so emotional. And sometimes mm-hmm. I really do, as you just said, like feel so alone sometimes. And when I do just access God, or as you would say with someone else, just like, you know, your higher self,
it really just brings about a peace that I just can't even describe. It's mm-hmm. so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that peace is, that is the ticket to parasympathetic for sure. It's just immediately like, oh, I can take a deep breath.
Yes, definitely. And
so, I mean, I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but I would love to touch on your relationship a little bit. So just on this idea of healing can be very isolating and there's a lot of ups and downs, and sometimes it can feel like you're making a ton of progress and then you get blood work back and it feels like, what the hell? Everything is wrong again.
Yeah.
So how has Dan, your fiance, very, very soon to be husband, how has he been supportive of you during this time?
He's been really supportive, but I've also realized that like your partner can't be everything for you, you know? And like, there really is, I really do feel for the people who are in relationships with people who are struggling health-wise, because that's also a big toll on them as well. You know, they're used to this person that's vibrant, healthy, and then all of a sudden the person is not. And then that means that there's more maybe like work or emotional labor on their backs. And so I've definitely seen like the highs and lows with Dan. You know, I've seen like where it can be really, really hard on him. And I have such a, but he never makes me feel bad about it. But like, there are times when I can just tell he, if he could, he would express even more how hard sometimes things have been on him. But, and I just think it's important to be honest about that. You know, like he's not my saving grace when it comes to this whole thing, but like, cause he's only human. And so I do see where it's really hard on him, but at the same time, he's also just so wonderful. Like anything that I want to try, he is game for. You know, if I am like I know that we were going to buy this artwork or this table or something, but I instead need to go spend that money to go, you know, make a few more appointments with this functional medicine doctor, do this GI map test or whatever, allocate the funds towards something health-wise. Like he's always just very, very supportive in that. And I feel that he has done a better job at like giving me more, a little bit more alone time, because that's a very healing time for me. And so, because he's like very, he always wants to be with me 24/7 all the time. I love him, but like I need alone time, you know, especially just in this healing, because it's just, it's a lot. Like going through a tumor thing is a lot. Like I need to like make sense of my life, and I have to do a lot of that on my own by myself. And he's for sure doesn't always respect those boundaries, but I can tell that he's making an effort, and that means a lot to me. And there have been times where like, I really do feel like I'm so grateful. Like he's taking, there are some days where I do feel like he just takes the brunt for me in like ways where I can just like rest emotionally and like let it all out, and him kind of being not my punching bag, but just like there to like scoop it all up, mm-hmm. you know? And then like the next day I'll be fired up and I'll be good again. But yeah, he's been, it's emotional like for both of us, but mm-hmm. overall, like he's been really, really great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, one thing for me too, that I had sort of realized with everything that had happened in the last year, and those were just kind of little glimpses of other things, of just thinking of more traditional kind of wedding vows and sickness and in health, and never really realizing the weight of that personally. Mm-hmm. And then just after, especially everything I went through in March and April, and having a similar kind of experience with Alex, of just her being able to at least hold the space. They can't heal you, you know, yeah. but they can just be there for you. And it was like, oh, wow, this kind of gives a whole new meaning to that idea of in sickness and in health. And I feel even more confident now about getting married. Not that I had any doubts before, but it just is like, oh, okay, like this is what it means. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, that for me was really powerful.
For sure. It is reassuring going through that and seeing your partner stick by you. And you're like, okay, we've already tackled a really big hump in life.
Yeah.
And so it kind of sets the tone for the future that you'll always be there for each other.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the wedding? I know you just, I think it was yesterday or sometime this week, said that you are, well, you don't know if you're calling it eloping, but you're having a miniature wedding, 16.
I thought it was eloping. Like we're going to Vegas.
Okay.
And we're going to Vegas and doing like the Little White Chapel. It's literally $75 for our venue.
I love it.
I mean, we're still going to be, you know, spending like a good amount of money, but not, not even close to compared to what we were when we were going to do the big wedding. We're saving so much money. But because like we planned this very last minute, I was like, this is eloping. And then I posted on stories. I was like, yeah, we have 15 guests. And I can't even tell you how many DMs rolled in being like, that's not eloping. That's a micro wedding. That's nano wedding. I'm like, I didn't know.
Oh my God, the labels.
Yeah. I was like, all right. I was like, okay. So now I'm like, I'm having a nano wedding and I'm not eloping. I'm having a nano wedding. And yeah, it's awesome. I got my dress from Lulu's for $80. I got my shoes from Forever 21 for $20. Okay. It's just like, so it's going to be so laid back and just fun and full of love. And I'm just kind of like, it's so low stress. I seriously haven't stressed about it once. I'm just like, however it plays out, it plays out.
So was part of the reason going that direction a stress thing because you were trying to rein back on stress? Yeah.
For sure. Definitely. I was also just like, you know, I'm like still in this very big like healing phase and I'm just really curating my life in a way to be as low stress as possible. So I was like, this is one of the best ways to do it. Also though, like the more Dan and I thought about it, the more I'm like, the idea of walking down an aisle and like people looking at me just makes me so nervous and feel almost icky inside. It's just not me.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's just it. And I know how I am. If there's a ton of people there, I'd have so much anxiety of like, am I spending enough time with this person? Am I spending, oh my gosh, this person flew in from Vermont and I've only hung out with them for 5 minutes. I feel so bad. I just don't even think I would be able to be present. I don't think I would enjoy my wedding day. I feel like I would be people pleasing like no other. And it just, so for me, and I'm also an introvert, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, I was like a small wedding just really fits the bill. And Dan too, he's not an introvert. He loved the idea of like a bigger wedding, but then the more that he thought about it, he was like, oh yeah, like going this nano wedding route is the way to go. So.
Yeah. I can definitely relate to you on everything you're saying. I said the exact same things. I mean, we're having a super tiny wedding too, maybe like 35 people, but I literally have said those same things to Alex. Like the thought of walking down an aisle, like that just feels so, that is not me. That feels weird. Yeah. Like I'm not someone that's thought about my wedding day and what I'm going to wear. And it's I get it.
We got to do what feels right for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a real expression of the love and the union that you're creating because that's really the purpose of a wedding.
Completely agree.
So what else is in store for the future for you as far as business goes? Are you going to be releasing any new potions? What's going on the horizon?
Yeah, we are releasing a new potion. It's going to be focused around the brain. And so really good for like brain synapses, being a little bit quicker on your feet. Great for just cognition and focus, which is going to be really awesome. And so that's going to be a whole different flavor profile. It's still going to like fit our MO of 5 ingredients or less, really great dosages. So we're working on that. We're working on a rebrand. We hired a branding agency. That was a huge deal. That's like such a big investment, but we did that. So really the future is going to be focusing a lot on the potion brand, like, you know, the rest of 2021, 2022, going full force at that.
Amazing.
So exciting. Yeah.
So exciting. Okay. Well, can you let everyone know where they can find you and your delicious potions?
Yeah. So the potions you can find on vfpotions.com. If they want to look online, it's, or on Insta, it's at Violet Fog Potions. They can find me at Katie Yurko. It's KateyYurko. And on TikTok, I'm at the Violet Fog. TikTok is wild. That's a new one, but I'm having fun with
I've never even opened the app, to be honest. Oh, I can't go down another rabbit hole. I'm not going to. We'll include all of those in the show notes just to make sure they're really easy for people to find.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I love you so much, Kayla.
Yeah, I love you too. It was so good talking to you. And I will see the rest of you next week.
Awesome. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of the Walk Home Podcast. If you enjoyed it, it would mean so much to me if you took a few minutes to subscribe, rate, and review. Don't forget that if you email us a screenshot of your rating and review, we'll send you 2 specially crafted yoga classes as a thank you for your support. If you think that this particular topic would resonate with friends, family, or loved ones, please don't forget to share it with them. We love being tagged on social media. You can find us at The Walk Home Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to listen to us ad-free, then you can always support us through Patreon at patreon.com/The Walk Home Pod. See you next week.